Good morning, everybody. You know, I really don't have that much this morning. Quite interesting. I seen my visit to my sister this past week, and we grew up in the same neighborhood, and we had some of the same old friends. Well, you know, I haven't kept up with my old friends at all, really. I haven't. I don't know what they're up to. I don't really care. Because I know for me, that was a snare and a trap, and that's something I just needed to get away from. I just really had to just cut myself from off that. Because if I did, it'd just be too easy to slip back in my old ways. Yeah. But as time has passed, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, if they came to me and contacted me and say, hey, I really wanted to hang out with you, I'd be like, yeah, sure, you can come over to my place and, you know, there's no drugs or anything. I'd be happy to hang out with them. So, you know, I had to change the perspective. I mean, at first it was like, get away, don't stay away from me. You scare me. But, yeah, for a while. But, you know, as I was talking to my sister, I mean, she was really sharing some, you know, some of my old friends and the stuff that they are going through. The stuff that they're involved in, some of the dangers that they really have gotten themselves into. And, you know, when we hung out back in the day, it was fun, and then you had scary times, and then you had trouble, and then you had all these things. But, I mean, this is just years of doing that for these guys, and some of them are some really bad places. Really, really bad places. And, you know, I remember talking to Hannah. She goes, well, you know, Phil, you made a decision. You know, you made these things. And it's like, man, no, I just, there's nothing, there's no different. I'd be in the same boat, if not worse, probably dead by now, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. And I said, that's it. I'm not chalking up to anybody or anybody. But Jesus Christ, and that's the only reason. And I said, you know, Hannah, I still have my struggles. You know, I still run into these areas of just frustration. I just don't deal with them with drugs anymore. And so, you know, I said, but, you know, the Lord still yet has sustained me through those things. And it's a praise the Lord. And really, I could see where I could have been at. You know, really, quite frankly, I don't think I'd be around if I never... If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be up here talking to you. I wouldn't have a family. I wouldn't be existing. You read about me on a tombstone, that'd be about it. So I praise God for that. And one of the things that, and I still, through all that, I'm still very much like the children of Israel. I'm no different than the children of Israel. Well, God shows up with His power. And shows them His power time and time and time and time again. And then go step up to those when it's time to take the promised land and go, there are giants over there, man. There are giants. You know, we cannot take that promised land. There's no way, man. They kill us. They kill us. You know, but I struggle with that yet. In my own inadequacies. Still. Very, very much so. The truth of the matter be. You know, I just know I'm no different. And you know, one of the things that I recall last week, I heard just a little bit of what Steve was saying on the sermon. And he was talking about David, you know, King David, and after he committed adultery and he committed murder, yet God still had mercy upon him, and God yet still made him king, regardless. Because it wasn't about David, it was about the merciful and loving kindness of Jesus. And God showed him. You can read Psalm 22. David wrote that, and it was the perspective of Jesus Christ being on the cross. It was like Jesus being on that cross and giving him that testimony of him being on that cross 800 years ago. I don't know. It was quite amazing to me to Huh? 700? 700 years ago. It's like Jesus being on that cross and telling David what he's feeling, what he's seeing, and what he's doing for us. Read Psalm 22. That's the perspective of Jesus on that cross and what he went through. It's somebody that didn't deserve it. It's quite frankly, that's a little white rabbit that I'm chasing. But yet, one of the things that Steve had said to me, or not said to me, what he was preaching about, was that it didn't matter. Because it was about Jesus. It was about the Gospels. And it's the same thing when we have our giants in the land that we're supposed to be taking over. Or I should say, equivalent to the inadequacies that we have. The things that we just fall absolutely short in. The things that we have not yet conquered. And the simple truth of that, somebody online can correct me if what he was saying was, all boils down, the reason why we haven't yet done that is because we don't yet believe the gospel fully in our lives. What's that? And we don't fear the Lord. So what Paul says. So yet, I can look at the children of Israel and go, those idiots. And I can look right in the mirror and go, you idiot. Same thing. Same thing. And yet, here's the Lord, if you go to Psalm 22 and you see what he's gone through for us. And I can certainly see what the Lord's done for me. And it was even much more clear when I talked to my sister about the state of some of these guys. Some of these guys I grew up and I've known since I was 5 years old. And they're just in a really bad spot. One of them's just absolutely suicidal. And absolutely paranoid. And talk about a nice guy. I like this guy. This is a guy with God never left you hanging. God never treated you wrong. Never treated you differently when he was with somebody else. Never clicked off, man. When he looked at people, he had a different perspective than a lot of us Christians have. And he was very interesting guy, and yet here he is, and he has been done wrong, so wrong that he doesn't trust a soul on the earth, and he's in a bad place, and that's hard. That's hard to know that. But I know that it's only because of Jesus Christ that I'm still standing, or I got a family, or I've got what I got. And that's just it. Even when I wasn't standing or any of those things, Jesus was for my sake. And I'm not in anything special. I would love to see that guy, my friend of mine, receive the gospel. And I don't know. Maybe I might reach out to him one day. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord plays out there. But the Lord's good. And I guess today what I want to share is that let's not deceive ourselves. I know for me, I guess I'm sharing a point of perspective for myself. Because I've seen these inadequacies. I'm still seeing those giants in that promised land. And yet, with even the Lord showing me what he has shown me, I still see these giants. And still have not entered into the place where Joshua and Caleb have entered. That land's for our taking. I might have thought that, or might have been in a place where I was there. but yet, I still struggle with that. And I know that's the lack of grabbing on, holding on to that gospel of Christ. in the sufficiency of it. Because that's the point. You know, it's not about what we can do or what we can't do. It's not about that. It's about how good He is and what He can do. And that's it. I mean, because really, if we're doing it on our own and we're accomplishing, it's really nothing but filthy rags. It's worth nothing. But if it's Him that's doing it, that's something. Amen?
You know, I want to spend all my time talking about the joy of the Lord and how Jesus said He came that our joy may be full. But the truth of the matter is, we're kind of a haphazard lot. And when Jesus was talking to His disciples there, they had been on a training mission. They had been walking after Jesus and following Him and seeing His devotion to only that which the Father gave Him to do. And only speaking that which the Father gave Him to speak. And they were learning from that. And they got the seriousness of the mission. They got it. And until you have stood in the place of the right terror of the Lord and how serious what's going on here is, we have to learn to say yes or no problem to the Lord all the time here so we can stand there. And that should scare the ever-loving snot out of everybody. It should terrorize the soul and hearts of everybody. That's why the course of discipline and rearing and raising your children is such a serious one. That's why children's obedience to their parents is such a serious one. It's why we standing in obedience under our authorities is such an important one. Because it's hard. And Scripture doesn't say anything else. It says, endure hardness, 2 Timothy 2. Endure hardness as a good soldier. We're in what is amounts to a boot camp. We're supposed to be learning to be sold out to the DI. To be able to turn to Him, yes, sir, no problem. Second Timothy 2 says, endure hardness, amongst other things, as a good soldier. Hebrews 4, let us therefore fear, stand in terror of, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Where you come to the point where you're doing what His works for you are. You entered His rest. You're resting in Him. Then your joy can be full. That's the only time that works. I don't know how many of us, if anybody like me in here, I don't wake up into the presence of, oh, my joy is full. I wake up to, ugh. Ah. Scares the crap out of me. Because the battle's got to start again. Anew, every day, and the warfare is against unbelief that this carcass carries around. It's what eats it. It's what curses it. It's unbelief. And I have to tell you, if you come in here and play in church, you're punching the clock for some other reason than to have the rest of the Lord, than to please Him, than to have your life turned over to Him, being all about Him. If you're here for any other reason than that, you're spinning your wheels. May as well go home. Because you're not going to get where everybody assumes you're wanting to get because you're here. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith, and then they heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And once again, I point out that the insertion of that into the Mosaic law in the Ten Commandments, that seventh day of rest was put in there to be merciful and to require that nobody burn through labor. And just kill them. You've got to give them a day of rest. You didn't get that in the other nations around Israel. The only place you got that was in Israel. In this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. It's, what does the unbelief do? It has you looking out for you, looking out for number one, taking care of yourself. Nobody else is going to do it. And your life is again about you. When you give in to unbelief, your life is about you. And as long as we were going to refer in reference to the Ten Commandments, that breaks the first one. Thou shalt have none other God but me. For I, the Lord thy God, is a jealous God. He doesn't like idolatry. And when you in lowliness of mind and meekness and lowliness of spirit serve Him as Jesus served the Father, you've crossed over into His rest. You have beaten back unbelief. John says, 1 John says, you love me, keep my commandments, right? He who says he loves God and does not do his commandments is a liar. Parents, children, do what you tell them to do. How's that work? When they do, you're pleased with them, right? When they don't, they're supposed to be learning. So it's important that you tell them when you're pleased, so they'll know when they've hit the mark. They need to learn how to please you. That's what their job as children is. How can they learn how to please God if they can't learn how to please you? And it works up the line of authority chain the same way. Verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. The question is, how badly do you want it? I wake up every day it's a total impossibility. I fail in every aspect of all of this. And until I can shake that off, I can't do anything for the Lord. I cannot be profitable at all. Until you're willing to put on such a lowliness of mind, you can't receive from the Lord. You can't minister to other people. My hope is that there remaineth a rest to the people of God. For he that hath entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. When you're not about your works, and you're about his works, then you've entered into his rest, and you can know his joy. You can have the joy of your salvation restored. And if it takes you, 16 hours to get there and it's time to go to bed again, just pray that you get better at it so that somebody else can be benefiting from it. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Labor to enter that rest. Labor to avoid falling after unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why we spend so much time talking about the word, about reading and studying the word, about hearing the exhortation of the word. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing that then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. One of the things about David was he had to put aside his total inadequacy and failure. He was called by God to be king of Israel. And he had to hold fast to the calling of the Lord on his life. And he had to trust in God's deliverance to him, a Savior, to cover all of his failures, all of his sin. And he did. So he continued to be God's man. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. You cannot justify yourself before the Lord when you just don't understand. Been there. He's done that. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Yeah, you're a failure. Get on your knees. Repent. Approach the throne. You can go boldly, expecting the Lord to cover you, expecting Him to cleanse your heart, expecting Him to give you what you need to overcome unbelief. It's serious business that we don't fall after the example of Israel in the desert, who entered not into the promised land because of unbelief. I don't care how long it takes you to shake it off. I don't care how it manifests itself. There is no justification. And it ought to terrify you. It ought to terrify you. I know it scares me. Well, God bless everybody. I'm done.